Can you unmute and come in, Mima?
Yes, thank you, Sunny. And thank you, Sana, for asking me to share today. My name's Rima, everyone, family. Don't know you, a lot of you. I haven't met you, but if you have this alcoholism thing, I know we have a common problem and a common solution. And I love you. I love that you're here showing up for yourself and for each other. I live in Sonoma, California. I have a sponsor who lives in Austin, Texas. I have a home group out of Austin, Texas. It's called the Primary Purpose Group Online. We meet every Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific time. We study the book line by line. And instead of speaking on our experience with those words and those lines, we try to examine and grow from looking at the book from the perspective of these founders and what they were truly trying to share, what the message is, how often they repeat similar messages, and define words per the 1936 dictionary that are used in the first 164 pages and Dr. Bob's Nightmare. And I've been doing that since the pandemic hit in 2020. And it changed my life, honestly, changed my life studying the book like that. I have a number of sponsees who typically teach me more than I think I teach them and try to remain sponsorable, teachable, willing, open and honest with my sponsor, who I cherish and respect. That's a commitment, a commitment to the relationship with folks today that AA has offered me. And I'm so grateful for that. So, if you were here yesterday, you might have heard my grand sponsor speak on step one. And didn't she do a phenomenal job? Oh my God. Cindy is a hard act to follow. But here I am. I sort of feel like I got the long stick, because this is step two. And yes, I have 30 minutes, but I was schooled that this is a step about willingness. And how do I become willing? I'm getting a feedback. It's sort of an echo and strange, but I'm not sure what to do about that. We'll just keep going and trust God here. So step two, I came to believe in a power greater than myself that could restore me to sanity. And one of the beautiful things about the Primary Purpose Group is that it taught me initially, like where these steps are in the book. I was always told by sponsors that every answer to every problem I ever have is right here in this book in the first 164 pages. And so step two, We Agnostic starts on 44. If you have your book, I am a buy the book girl as much as possible. So I will be speaking from that. And to give you a little bit of background on my alcoholism, I will start with the very pointed question that page 44 asks me. If, when I honestly want to, I find I cannot quit entirely, or if when drinking I have little control over the amount I take, I am probably alcoholic. I have a dear friend here who's no longer with us who used to say the alcoholic has only two problems: what happens to us when we drink, and what happens to us when we don't drink. And so, what is step two talking about when it says, I came to believe in a power greater than me that can restore me to sanity? It's that insanity surrounding the first drink. Like Cindy mentioned yesterday, that inability to manage the first drink. So, I was having a conversation with another AA friend, I think it was last week or the week before, I don't know. And I was recalling how first the allergy, oh God, in the last few years of my drinking, and I drank heavily, beyond normal, up until age 44. And I'll tell you a little bit more about what happened, but I would actually get peace and ease and comfort from the first drink, like the doctor described when I was younger, but it stopped working. And so I just kept opening bottles and saying to myself, why am I opening another bottle? No one does this. This is sick. But not having any ability to not open the bottle, I just kept opening bottle. And so it's that first drink that keeps me in that allergy, that phenomenon of craving, that kicks in. I do not have any delusions that if I were to pick up a drink today, that that would kick right back in and may never see you again. So, but what about the insanity surrounding the first drink, that queer mental twist and that blank spot that I suffer from? I recall the terrible cycle every day the last few years of my drinking, day after day. I would go to work hungover as if that was a normal thing, dried mouth, headache, still spinning, probably still a point something, BAC. And, say to myself, God, I'm never gonna do that again. Drink on a work day, a work night, and somehow manage to get through the day. And then the insanity kicks in at about 4 o'clock. But not only was the in mental insanity, that compulsion for the first drink, kick in, but I was so physically addicted to alcohol. I noticed like my hand would start to quiver at around 4 p.m. And it says in this book on page 44 too, at first some of us tried to avoid the issue, but after a while we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life or else, hoping against hope. I was not a true alcoholic. And what I did was I rationalized and justified this hand quiver at 4 p.m. every afternoon as just probably early onset Parkinson's, like my father had, like as if that was, that anything, like this is the insanity, anything better than thinking it had something to do with my alcoholism. What a queer mental twist. And the ability to just buy into these thoughts. Cindy did mention yesterday too that the main problem of the alcoholic centers in her mind or his mind. And so this is the insanity that in step two, I come to believe in a power greater than myself that can restore me. And what does the Dr. Pinion talk about will restore me? A complete psychic change, a complete transformation within, not my circumstances, not others, but within that ideas, my thoughts, my emotions, feelings, and attitude, my belief systems. The we agnostics is full of messages about my belief systems and my prejudices that I don't even know exist sometimes in my head and that I'm just buying into. I'm fettered, which means that I am enslaved and chained to these ideas and have an inability to hear new perspectives. I have this demand to always be right or figure it out myself. And the alcoholic, my experience is that if I'm faced with two alternatives, here on 44 again, it says that I'm going to either be doomed an alcoholic death or live on a spiritual basis, aka promises of happiness, joyousness, and freedom. Actually, and later in the book, we were talking in Lineage about the transcendent happiness that comes from, working and giving of ourselves to others. Well, that sounds like not a difficult decision. But for me, the first few years in AA, I was just exploring that doom a little bit, like just go to meetings, work the steps off the wall, And by the way, now that we're talking about step two, that reminds me on page 44 that lack of power is my dilemma, capital P power. We had to find a power by which we could live, and it had to be a power greater than myself. Obviously, it wasn't obvious to me. You know, I was the girl at the bottom of page 45, which the word God, when I got to AA, brought up a particular idea of him with which someone had tried to impress upon me from childhood. Perhaps I rejected this particular conception because it seemed inadequate. No one ever shared with me that I get to choose, decide, formulate, grow with a God personal to me. And when I got here, working these steps off the wall, just going to meetings when it was convenient for me or when I was in desperate trouble, I wouldn't even say the word God, you guys. I mean, like I said, I think I got the long end of the stick because maybe it's only obvious to me, but this step and this power has been the most obvious transformation to me in my, I forgot to tell you my sobriety date, February 16th, 2014, almost 10 years in recovery. This has been the most obvious, and you'll hear more about that. I would go so obstinate and so self-righteous. I would like blot out words that said God in them, like on page 417, that beautiful paragraph on, acceptance says that there are no mistakes in God's world. And I would just write, there were no mistakes, cross out God. I mean, I couldn't even say the word. How self-righteous, how, self-important I was and still can be today, but I do have faith today in a power greater than me because it has restored me to sanity. Those 10-step promises are true for me today. I don't think about drinking. I have problems in my life. It doesn't occur to me that a drink would solve them. It was my solution. It's not today. What happened February 16th? Which is about 24 hours after my last drink, sobriety dates right around holidays. I just love because, it was Valentine's Day evening. And, I tied one on and I was driving up to Lake Tahoe, which is a few hours from here, and I got popped. I ran out of gas. I literally was playing a Seinfeld episode in my head at the time. Like, let me see how far I can go with an empty gas tank. Like, this is going to be great, but it was, and I laugh at that, but it is not funny. You guys, I placed so many people's lives at risk that night. I did others' lives, my own life. I was seeing triple, I was seeing quadruple, I was seeing, I had to drive kind of like this, has anyone done that? And calling AAA, they said it's safer. It's our policy to call CHP before we call AAA to get gas for you. And they rolled me right up and took me right down to the county jail in Truckee. And something happened to me in that jail cell. I don't know what it was. I can't explain it. But God got my attention that night. And I'm grateful for those officers. I'm grateful that night happened. I'm grateful, so grateful that no one got hurt. You see, the thing is that at the time I was a full-time prosecutor responsible for the freedoms of folks on a daily basis, on a case-by-case basis. And God used the one thing, that really punctured my pride and put me behind bars. And I was like, what is happening here? This woke me up, so to speak. And I suddenly, right, what is step two? Step two means that if I fully realize and have fully conceded to my innermost self that I am alcoholic, I am either doomed to die an alcoholic death. I know I've experienced step one like that, like Bill's talking about, making this book come alive. Oh, that's true for me. That's how I feel. I felt like that. I felt like Bill did. I think like Bill too. I drink like Bill. That I was willing to take a suggestion, go to rehab, Rima, get into a program immediately, a friend said. And I said, yes, okay. And with all I could muster, like calling these insurance companies, what a hassle, you know, it didn't matter. I did what I was told. And so the willingness, 100% absolute abandon to these steps is where I want to be at the end of step one. Cindy mentioned that's the only step that we can work perfectly. I agree with her. I agree with her. Doesn't matter if I agree with her or not, but that's been my experience, that I full realization of the problem and that I have this mental obsession, an insanity around the first drink, and that craving that kicks in once I take it. I'll do anything, man. Just tell me what you want me to do. And I try to take that into my relationship with my sponsor today. Do I want to live or do I want to die? I may not like the suggestion sometimes, irrelevant. Do I want to live or do I want to die? And what I found is that when I take those suggestions that I don't necessarily want to take because they were suggested to me and all of you have shown me they work, I get an experience of a power greater than me that can do for me what I can't do for myself, working in my life today. And every little thing becomes a miracle, a miracle. So fast forward, you know, to today, you know, Saturday night, I had a date with a man and I was talking to my sponsor. I was all neurotic, you know, should I tell him I'm only interested in a friendship and I don't want anything more? And da, 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 da. You know, hey, Rima, you know, I couldn't do for myself. I could not do for myself. So it was suggested that I might align what I want with God's will for me. And I laid, you know, I got down on my knees and I did a version of the third step prayer that comes after, but, you know, I gave my night over to God and I called God in. And it was a lovely evening and I got to experience that person for who that person is and moved into gratitude. You see, I can't always get there on my own. I need help to practice these spiritual principles, gratitude, you know, attention giving, oh, listening skills, love and acceptance, tolerance. So yeah, you know, that power greater than myself is so much better than what I have planned for myself. I heard recently, and I really love this, that the life that I have planned, you know, I'm always out there scheming. I have my plans and designs. I want to arrange the lights, the ballet, and the scenery, and all the rest of the players in my own way. But that life that I have planned for myself is way too small for me to live. And what step two has shown me that God's plan for me is full of infinite possibilities, infinite joy, beautiful relationships, love, love, love. And so, you know, when I get to experience those things, I start craving more of that. I start craving more of that. Maybe when I'm feeling sorry for myself, I might call God in and direct my attention towards you. Maybe when I'm feeling misunderstood, I call someone and I ask them how they're doing and not talk about my stuff. Maybe when I'm heading out to, a special grocery store, that's in Napa, but not in Sonoma, I call my neighbor and I say, elderly neighbor, is there anything you need from Trader Joe's? These little things, helping someone in the parking lot at the grocery store, giving someone a smile. When I can, I do those things because they bring me joy, and whether they bring the other person joy, I don't know, but that offering of love and service is my go-to today. That is my solution today. When I am loving on you, it's like an automatic joy. I don't know how it happens, but that is it. And I am suffering and I'm doomed when I'm constantly and obsessively concerned with myself. So really, this one, there's one line in We Agnostics here. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists, that was me, chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? I mean, wow. Yeah, let me just focus on Rima's orderly direction. My sponsor used to call me Rod. That's Rima when I'm running the show, Rima's orderly direction. This program's about God's orderly direction, not Rima's. And y'all are spearheads. I'm sitting in a room of spearheads right now of God's ever advancing creation. I just love that line, and it's really not talked about in our meeting rooms, but it's one of my favorites, right? I get to be an agent of God's ever advancing creation. One of the things that has occurred recently is after 22 years of lawyering, I decided to retire. And I did that in April. And I had a dream project. I wanted to start dancing and dance a lot and offer this to the community. No instruction, just facilitating dances. And I was about to sign a 1-year lease. This is a concept that, brings in the fact that there are no right or wrong moves, there is no judgments, no expectations, just dance for expression, not impression. Come as you are. And I was about to sign a 1-year lease, and how do you create a business plan with an untested concept? Because I don't know what profits are going to be. I don't know what my financials are going to look like. Yet I was ready to sign a 1-year lease. And one morning, right before this lease was to be signed, I was practicing the discipline of prayer and meditation, and I got the intuitive nudge where I cannot explain where it came from, to run over to this CrossFit gym. There's a couple here in Sonoma, but it was a specific one. I don't do CrossFit. I don't even know the owner of this CrossFit gym, but I got this intuitive nudge to go there. And I left and I took action on it. And it turns out, that owner who was there, happened to be there. And I apologize for just dropping in on him, but he said it was a perfect time. What's up? Was a former police officer. And we connected immediately. And he's like, "Do you want to start your dance this weekend?" I mean, literally 5 minutes. And I was blown away. You guys, I couldn't have planned that myself. So these are the experiences I get in God's ever advancing creation. Simply being able to be quiet and still every morning. Throughout the day, I pause when agitated or doubtful, but actually taking action on intuitive nudges that come from within, not, what possibly was my impetus for going to law school, to maybe get the approval of my, thank you, Sonny, of my dad, who was a lawyer. Maybe that was the impetus. I don't really know, but I did that job for 22 years. And intuitive inspiration, intuitive thoughts. Do I take action on those? I trust those today after that experience. Let me share that with you. I trust those. I think of someone, who I now, inquire of God, I should be praying for maybe in the evenings rather than giving God my list, my demands of who I want God to see over and comfort and love and care for. I now, inquire of God, who would you have me pray? And I think of someone new I haven't thought about for some time, and I pick up the phone. It's a beautiful way to be guidable, to be teachable through this higher power and this relationship I have with a higher power that continues to grow and continues to manifest in my life because of this few simple disciplines. Before I end, because it looks like it's 3 minutes left here, I wanted to share with anyone who's feeling a little abject sensitivity or disturbance when you hear the word God, because that's where I was. Maybe there's one or two of you out there who also feel that way. That a couple years ago I was giving a talk, and it occurred to me that there are like 15 other names for God in We Agnostics, and I want to just share those with you because I don't think the name really matters. Is simply a power greater than ourselves. It's not me, number one. So here's the alternatives, or other names: capital P power, supreme being, creative intelligence, spirit of the universe, realm of the spirit, guider. Creator, all powerful, presence, new land, great reality, broad highway, infinite power and love. I just love that one. Maker. Bill's story, he uses capital F friend. I can't think of a better friend. Someone who, I get to work for, be employed by, who provides everything I need, leads me, feeds me, and keeps me, sheltered. And there's one other that came up recently. And this is just, maybe this is Rhema's orderly direction. Please, go to your sponsors. But I truly think that God, another name for it, is capital C, change. Change. The psychic change I was talking about and touching upon a little bit earlier tonight, I need God to change me, my attitude, my ideas, setting aside my opinions can sometimes be very hard, but when I remember God's in charge, not me, I'm not running the show anymore, it's transforming and loving. And sometimes I need to learn lessons, again, I go in and I do the same behavior. It's typically Rima running the show, but when I bring God in and I'm guided hand by hand all day long in my relationships, in the world, and with others, miracles, people, miracles daily, beautiful things. That's my time. I've left my number in my box. I can't wait to hear about your second step experiences. I love you. Thank you.